rest of us, we're going to be in our lesson series. I'm very excited about field training as we're considering this year, working the field and what that means and reaching the lost. I'm excited about this. I think I'll just do this now before we stand and get into our message. So I've been working on long-term this series and kind of where we're going to be headed and just getting some basic layout. And as we get into the introduction, you'll see, we'll read it in a second, but we're wanting to be ambassadors for Christ, right? That's what a field worker is. That was our first lesson. A field worker is an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador for Christ is three things. If you want to be a good ambassador, you need to really have three things. You need to have a good testimony because you represent Christ far before you say anything, right? And so your testimony is very important. We need to have sound reasoning. We need to have the ability to give this to people. And we'll have this in our notes here in a second. This is just me talking. And we need to have accurate knowledge. We need to know the one who sent us, our sovereign, right? Because we are representing him. So it'd be good if we knew him well. And we need to know the message that he has sent us with. Okay? Now, logically, it kind of goes the other way. You need to know the message, then you need to know how to communicate it, and then you'll be there, be a good testimony. But really, practically, it goes the other direction. And so what we're doing is, you've probably noticed, is we're talking now about a good testimony. And here's going to be the blueprint moving forward. We're going to talk about the need for a good testimony. And that was last week. That'll be this week. Next week, we're going to talk about the need for sound reasoning. And you'll see today that this is kind of a bridge into that even. And we'll take a couple weeks on that. Then we'll talk about the need for accurate knowledge. There's a lot of people who are really nice and friendly, who can communicate well, but don't know what they're actually talking about. They're not actually giving the Word of God. They might know their message well, but it's not God's message. And so we need to have them accurate knowledge. Being nice is not enough. But having knowledge is not enough. You can have the right message and then deliver it terribly, okay? So this is the thing. After that, so we're going to really focus on the need and kind of convince you that these are helpful and necessary, these three components. And here's what's going to happen, I think. I hope this is going to happen in you. If you're focusing and paying attention and if you're invested in this, which I hope you are, you're going to be like, okay, but how do I do it, right? Like, I want to do it. I want to be a good testimony. I want to be able to reason with people. I want to know the message. I want to have all this. And so for the first part, we're going to just give you the need. But then we're going to go back and we're going to give you ways to sharpen each one of these areas. You need to grow in each one of these areas. For many of us, growing just means noticing it, right? And so we'll do that. And just thinking about it, you'll begin to grow. But then we'll give some very practical ways to sharpen your testimony and develop relationships with people that are genuine and deep and get you in a place, as we'll see today, to be able to reason with people. Then we'll give you several weeks on how to actually reason with people and to think through things logically, not just yell your point, then they yell their point, and now you're in a fight. We can't have that. No, if we're right, we don't need to have that kind of attitude. We'll just hear them and understand where they're coming from, and then help them get from where they are to the truth. That's what Paul did in the synagogues. He showed up. They didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. He listened to what they had a conversation. He listened to what they were thinking, why Jesus isn't the Christ. He met them where they were and then proved with sound reasoning. He didn't even have the New Testament yet. He was in the middle of writing it, in a sense. But then proving through sound reasoning why Jesus is the Christ. Because you cannot be saved unless you know that Jesus is the Christ. We'll talk about today. But we need to get them from where they are and in their mind understanding the truth. So we'll learn how to reason with people. And then we'll start giving you the message, right? And then as you learn the message, you can then take it to the world. Make sense? That's the goal. This is going to take at least 5 months. At least. It's going to be more than that. But I'm excited about that. It'll be worth every second. I'm really excited about it. So, if you would take your Bibles, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. This is in the back of your Bible. If you got to 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you've gone too far. It's after Hebrews, after James. And whenever you find your place in 1st Peter 3, you wouldn't mind to stand. When you're standing, that's when I know I'm ready to read. 1st Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Peter, talking to these scattered Christians who are struggling in a lot of ways. Peter, and really the entire book, for the most part, I believe the main subject of this book is to help them to, even through this hard time, be a testimony. I really believe that's the whole purpose of this book. And then in verse 15, he kind of explains why it's important that we have a good testimony. Let's actually back up to verse 14. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And so this is part of having a good testimony, even during persecution and suffering. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you. And so as they live this good testimony, people will notice that even through suffering and hardship, they have hope in them. And they will ask then, what's the deal? How are you still having hope? How are you still happy? I seemingly have a great life and I'm miserable. What's going on? They'll ask. And then we need to give them an answer. And it's not just the word Jesus. That's not enough. There's reasoning that needs to take place here. And then what's important is this at the end. With meekness and fear. What does that mean? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's pray and we'll get right into our lesson. A good testimony leads to sound reasoning. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word and how it does help us to reason with you and understand you better. And I'm thankful that we can get to know you better and better through your word. Help us to have that heart and desire. Lord, help us to take our testimony seriously, even as we learned last week. And then today, God, help us to understand why. Why is that important? And that we can be better ambassadors for you. We love you. Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Appreciate that. Oh, if you need a lesson, I never did that. Everyone have a lesson? If you don't have one, you can raise your hand. We'd be sure glad to get you one. You need one. Brother Eric just happens to be back there. Check that out. Do you need a pen? Because if you don't have one, you'll need one. We're going to be doing lots of writing today. I'm going to try to get through this lesson today, but there's no promises. Okay? All right. Okay, good. So we're going to jump right into it. All right, so again, I remind you, as field workers, we are called to be, hopefully you know this blank, ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. If you need to know how to spell that, it's right here in the verse we're about to read, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? Well, as though God did beseech you by us. The way that Paul and his team, the way that they were reached by God in Corinth, God reached them through Paul and his team. God did not open a window in heaven and say, hey, you know, Jesus is God who died. You know, he doesn't do that. That's not how God speaks. He speaks through his word, and he speaks through his ambassadors who know his word. Are you following? Okay. And so that's what Paul said. It was as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And so that's our message. As ambassadors, we are called to go to this world and work the field. And the point is to reconcile mankind to God. That's what we're doing. That's what we're up to. We're representatives and spokesmen on behalf of Christ. Again, we don't get to choose if, that's the blank, we are ambassadors. We only get to choose if we will be a good ambassador or a bad ambassador. Those are the blanks. We don't get to choose if. We choose if we're a good ambassador or a bad ambassador. But we are ambassadors. And if we want to be a good ambassador, here's the requirements. We've talked about this. A good testimony, that's the first blank. A good testimony. That is representing Christ well with how we live and how we treat people. That's our testimony. We need to have sound reasoning. Second blank is reasoning. We need to have the ability to communicate Christ's message in a reasonable and clear way. And by the way, as we get into this part of it, you'll notice this. It does just as much good for the people you're reasoning with, but understanding God's message reasonably will do worlds of help for you. I'm concerned as Christians, we don't think like we should. And we just blindly follow this system. But we don't know why we believe the Bible. We don't know why we believe God is real. We don't know why we believe the Bible says what it says, because other people who claim to follow the Bible say it says this. But why? So why don't we believe that? And I think too many of us are content with just, well, that's what my church says. But if that's you, you're really no different than a Mormon who is deceived. And if you just, or a Catholic, to be honest with you, who has been deceived. Or a myriad of other denominations who claim the name of Christ. Who Matthew says in Matthew 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, talking to Christ, have we not done these things in your name? There's a myriad of people who think the Bible says, work, work, work to be saved. But they've never really dealt reasonably with the Word of God. If they were to read the Word of God and reason with it, they would not come to that conclusion. They're just believing their priest. Or they're just believing their elder. Or they're just believing their whoever. And I'm thankful that we have all been lucky enough, air quotes, for those who listen to this audio later, to land in a place where the truth happens to be preached and taught. But honestly, what we need to do is reason these things out for ourselves. It'll help you. It'll keep you on those days where you're wondering if this is all even real anyway. If you have sound reasoning, it'll get you through those hard times. It'll help you as you're talking to somebody who believes something different, and they sure sound right. Why am I right and they're wrong? It'll help you to have that. For our purposes, it'll help you then also to communicate that message to others who need it, right? It's hard to tell people, hey, you know, you need the gospel and what you believe isn't right if you have no idea why. You know what I'm saying? So it's helpful. We need to know how to reason. And the last one is accurate knowledge. Accurate knowledge. We need to know God well. That's our sovereign. That's who we're representing. And we need to know his message well. Okay. And so we've dealt with what it means to have a good testimony. That was last week. But today, we're going to begin to shift gears from a good testimony to this, to sound reasoning. That's the blank, reasoning. But before we jump into how to use reasoning as we work the field, I want to help you see the connection. That's the blank there. I want you to see the connection between a good testimony and sound reasoning. That's what today is all about. Okay? All right, so number one, we have seen that Paul's manner, that's the blank, Paul's manner was to reason with the people. We preached on that weeks ago. It wasn't really part of our lesson yet, but we've heard that if you've been here. Let's read there Acts 17, 2 through 4, just right here in our notes. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead. So he needs to prove to them through reasoning that you do need a Savior. And then that this Jesus, whom I preach to you, unto you, is Christ. It doesn't do any good to preach the message of Christ if they don't believe he's Christ. Right? So we have to prove to them why we know he's Christ. You see? And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. You know, there's people out there who say, you can't reason people into heaven. You can't just through reasoning with people intellectually get them saved. Actually, that happens all the time, and that's what happened right here. Paul reasoned with them, and then they believed. Because salvation is not an emotional experience. Salvation is a reasonable decision based upon the truth of the gospel. Okay. Now, there's emotions there, but there's a lot of people who've made an emotional decision who I would contend are not saved because they have not reasoned with the scriptures. They do not know what they were even doing. They were just being, they say, floated by the Holy Spirit to the front, but really they were floated by the situation and the rock concert that they had that brought them to the front. But they were never intellectually stimulated and understood the gospel and then responded. That never happened. That's dangerous. Can't do that. So this is what Paul did. He reasoned with them. Letter A, if you read Acts 2-4 like we just did, Acts 17:17, Acts 18:4, Acts 8:19, Acts 19:8-9, you will see that this happened over and over again. Paul reasoned with people about everywhere he went. That was his manner, right? And if the Apostle Paul did that, and he was the greatest missionary of all time, maybe we ought to just consider doing that ourselves, as we're missionaries to our field. And so as you read those verses, you'll see words like this. Reasoning, as we read, opening, alleging, even the word persuading. Wait, we're not supposed to persuade. It's the Holy Spirit's job. Actually, no, we are called to persuade. It's the Holy Spirit's job to help us. We'll explain that. And he will take our persuasions and he will bring what's called conviction. We can't convict, but we are called to persuade men. We are. Not to manipulate, but to persuade. Not to pressure, but to persuade. We are called to do that. And that pattern here, the pattern becomes very clear. In order to get saved, you have to deal reasonably with the gospel. You have to. There has to be a time where you've thought this through. Let it be. Salvation, again, is a decision that someone makes after they have been persuaded in their mind. That's the blank. You have to be persuaded in your mind first. But then, oftentimes, most of the time, as you're persuaded in your mind, it will then affect your emotions. Did you know that all of your emotions are connected to some kind of thinking? And America is in this place where we're really good at tracking our emotions. This is how I feel today. I just feel this way. But every time you feel something, some way, there is a thought attached to it. Whenever we feel a certain way, we need to learn to do this. What am I thinking about that is making me feel this way? Now, obviously there's chemicals and things, and it takes those thoughts and amplifies, but there's still a thought. There's always a thinking that makes you feel a certain way. Always. And so the emotion is not where salvation comes. The emotion comes after the thought, the mind, the decision in the mind. And if you've truly understood in your mind the gospel, which we're going to talk about here in a second, the truth of the gospel, if you understand that and you call out on Christ, then there's emotions with that. Not only that, but God does come to live in you. But that doesn't happen until after the mind accepts the gospel. How are we doing? But it does not follow that because you have emotions that God worked. Because people have emotions all the time, and God's nowhere in that. Are you following? And we can manipulate people's emotions pretty easily, especially in America today, where people have turned their mind off. And if we wanted to, we can get a big crowd in here and get them all emotionally stirred up, and then get them to ask them to do anything, they'll do it, but they're not thinking. That is not the gospel. That is a phony version of the gospel. It starts in the mind. Letter C. To be saved, you have to understand the logic. You don't have to be, you know, Albert Einstein, all right? You don't have to understand everything, but you do need to have logic in this. Here it is. Here's the logic. First, you are a sinner. You have to understand that. Next, the next logical step after that is this. Sin demands God's wrath. Okay? Let's just think about this. If sin always demands God's wrath, and you are a sinner, what is the logical conclusion? That you deserve God's wrath. You see, we need to think these things through. And then, but the next thing, Jesus took God's wrath on the cross for you. That's why the cross is beautiful, because he took your wrath. And then, if you believe and confess Jesus, you can accept his payment on the cross for your sins. This is the logical progression. These things must be understood before anybody can be saved. You don't have to have all of the apologetics down and know, you know, how Jesus, how, you know, all the creation stuff and how evolution's wrong. And you can be wrong on a lot of things still and be saved, but you cannot be wrong on these things and be saved. These things have to be understood clearly. Then we can learn the rest. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, see them saved, see them baptized, and then teaching them to observe all things. So there's a lot of other things they need to learn. But to be saved, they need to learn these things. Understand? Are you doing good? So letter D is what that's where I was going. You don't have to know all of the theology of the Bible to get saved, but you do have to understand these truths before it's ever possible. I will say this, we're going to talk about this in a moment, but just because you understand those things doesn't mean you're saved. It is more than logic and reasoning. There's a decision to be made after that, which we'll talk about. But that decision cannot be made until we understand these things logically. Doing good? Okay. Number two. We'll explain all that right now. Paul laid out the logical progression. That's the point. The logical progression of how someone is saved. And that's Romans 10. You can turn there if you'd like. The verses we're going to deal with are right here in our notes, but if you'd like to see it, we're going to kind of go through these verses slowly. And this is why I say I don't know if we're going to finish our lesson today, because we might spend it all right here and then finish it the next time. We'll see how it goes. All right, so let's read them right here in our notes. Romans 10, 13 through 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, this is right after Romans 10, 9 and 10, where it's very clear. Here's how you get saved. You believe with all your heart and you confess with your mouth. Believing with all your heart does not mean with your emotions. In the Bible, the heart is not always emotions. The heart is oftentimes the mind. It's the inner being. It means that you need to believe the gospel for yourself. It means just because mommy and daddy are saved doesn't mean you're saved. You have to believe it with all your heart. Choose to believe it. And then you need to call out. Okay? And then he says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So how are they going to call if they haven't believed? Remember he said, they have to believe and call. That was in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Okay, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How can you believe this if you've never heard it? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so you can't help but notice there's logic here, right? You cannot read this and understand that if you're not thinking logically. Paul is very systematic here. What Paul is doing here, letter B, is he starts with someone who is saved, right? Verse 13, whoever calls on the Lord shall be saved. Okay, how did they get there? That's what Paul's doing. And so he's working backwards. If someone is saved, here are the things that they did to get saved. Are you seeing that? That's what he's doing. And so he starts with someone who is saved and works backward. That's the blank. Let's see how that happened. Someone is saved, he says, by calling on the name of the Lord. And they only call on Christ if they believe. And they only can believe if they hear. And they can only hear if someone preaches to them. And that person will only preach to them if they are sent. You see that? That's what Paul says. And so for us, if we want to see how somebody gets saved, we need to go the other direction. That's the blank. The other direction. We'll start here and move that way. Okay? So it goes like this for us. Here's going to be bulk of the rest of this lesson. Someone is sent to preach. Someone accepts that call and begins to tell people the gospel. Someone hears, and we'll explain what that means. It's not just in their ears. They hear the gospel. Then that person needs to make a decision to believe. And then that person who believes needs to make another decision to get saved, to call. Are we doing all right? And none of that is works. It's just a logical decision that's being made. Are we doing all right? This is how salvation works. Yes? Backward. Okay. So, if you go to page 3, letter D there. So we're going to go through this. First, we need to send preachers to tell others about the gospel. And that is what we're doing. This is me sending you. You are sent. Consider yourself sent. But this word sent is the same word that is translated apostle. And it has the idea of this, of sending with a message. That's what we're talking about. Sending with a message. So what that implies is part of sending you is training you. Because we have to first give you the message, right? I guess if you wanted to keep going with this thing, how can they be sent unless they first understand the message, right? And that's what these Sunday school series is all about. We're training you how to be sent. Okay, letter E there. Second, after we send, it's up to you. If you will allow yourself to be sent and preach the gospel. See that? That's the blank. All I can do in your process is to send you. But I cannot make you go. Doesn't matter how many tools I give you. Doesn't matter how easy we make it. Even though we're going to do that, I can't make you go tell people about Christ. You have to decide to answer that call and go. If you have to choose, you're the one that has to choose. There we are. To come to Sunday school and really engage with this stuff. I can teach it. I can beg you. I can give you all the reasoning in the world. But you're going to have to choose to be here, if at all possible. And if you're not here, to listen online and receive the training and really engage. You have to make that decision. I can't make that decision for you. You have to decide that you will give this message to the lost. You have to decide that. And again, this isn't just talking about preaching a message from behind the pulpit. When he says a preacher, it doesn't mean someone who is the pastor of a church preaching behind the pulpit. This call to preach that we're talking about is not just for specific people. Every Christian is called to preach this way. We're all called to be preachers that way. It's just talking about being involved with proclaiming the gospel to the lost, which is what we're talking about, working the field. And so in a sense, every Christian is called to be a preacher. So there's that. So we're in this class, we'll send, and then you're here at this step, you have to decide to preach, to be involved. All right, number F. Third, we who preach the gospel help the lost hear. That's the blank. So the lost are right here in the middle. And you're seeing the progression, right? Your teacher, whoever, if you want to be someone who reaches the lost, a field worker, you want to work the field, you're in this step, second two. You are receiving the training, and then you are preaching to the lost. That's where you end. That's your job. This is your spot. We'll talk about that in a second. Then the lost is here, who has to receive the message and begin to learn how to hear. Then the rest is them. They have to decide, them and God. All right, we'll explain that. And so our job is to help them hear. And this is not just words going into their ears. This is not just, okay, I said it and they were in the same room, did my job. That's not it. To hear means to deeply understand. Understand. That's the blank. And so our job then is not just to say the gospel one time and be done. Our job is to reason with the lost so that they can make these logical conclusions in their mind. Here's what we need to help the lost understand. All we can do is help them understand. Letter A, what the gospel is. They need to know the gospel, right? What's the gospel? Well, we said it. You're a sinner. Sin demands God's wrath. Jesus took God's wrath on the cross for you. If you believe and confess Jesus, you can accept his payment on the cross for your sins. They need to know that. If you hand out a gospel tract, that's what they'll get. That. Okay. But then, letter B, we need to help them know the gospel is true. It's true. They're going to have all kinds of barriers as to why they don't really believe it's true. They're going to grow up learning different things. Maybe a different gospel, which is not another, that Paul says. Or maybe, we'll talk about that here in a second. But what we need to do is answer those questions for them. That's the weeding and watering, right? That's the reasoning with them. And then letter C, they need the gospel. They need the gospel. Often people don't even think they need to be saved. We need to help them. We need to reason with them and help them see they really do. So that's our job right there. That's what we do. And now I want to do this. This is going to help us a lot. Paul helped us see how we can understand biblical truth. And then we're going to apply that to this. It's right here in our passage, in our notes, 2 Timothy 2:7. I don't know why I did it twice. Here's what he says. Consider what I say. So Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, consider what I say. I've already said some stuff to you. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You see what's happening here? Paul is reasoning with Timothy. And the Lord is giving understanding. So number one is, we need to help them consider. That's the blank. We need to help the lost consider the gospel. Not just hear it once and then never again. They need to consider it, and it's our job to help them with that. And the Holy Spirit will help them understand. Why am I saying this? Because number two, sometimes in reaching the lost, people ignore one of those two parts. Ignores the blank. They focus on one and ignore the other, oftentimes. And it's dangerous both ways. Some think that reasoning is not important. You don't need to reason with them. You just give them the simple gospel. That's it. And if they have any questions, that's on them, because it's simple. Well, it is if you don't have all these barriers in the way. But oftentimes, people are very confused about this. But they say, no, the Holy Spirit will handle that too. You just give it to them. We don't need to do this. We don't need to think this much. You know? And they'll say things like this. Christians shouldn't be intellectuals. I hate that. Christians shouldn't be smart. No. That's a lie. Christians are the most... There's no one more important on this earth that has the ability to think through things than Christians. We need to use our brains. We should not be just floating around, not knowing what we're doing. Just the Holy Spirit is floating me around. No, that's not how it works. The Holy Spirit engages your mind. That's what he does. And so there's people out there who are involved with reaching the lost that say, we don't need to reason with people. We just give them the simple gospel. That's it. That's not true. We need to help them consider. But, letter B here, some only reason with people. And they forget that the Holy Spirit plays a part as well. A big part, doesn't he? He's the one that brings understanding. He's the one that brings illumination. But Paul said, consider what I say, and the Holy Spirit will bring understanding. Both are there. If you don't need to reason with people, then why did Paul reason with people? If the simple gospel is enough, why didn't Paul just walk in that synagogue and say, Jesus is the Christ, you need to believe him, and then walk out? Because you need to sit and have conversations and think through this with them, you see? But understanding the whole time that the Holy Spirit is at work as well. And by the way, I don't think we need to pray and beg God to work. Let's have confidence that he will work through his word. Now let's pray and ask, because God asks us to do that. But it's not like, this isn't going to go good because I don't know if the Holy Spirit's going to choose to draw this person. He doesn't choose who he draws. He draws all men, and he does it through his word. Now we need the Holy Spirit to help us to explain that logically to them. But the Holy Spirit works through his word. We can be confident of that. But as we're teaching them, as we're reaching the lost, we need to know, as I'm doing this, also the Holy Spirit is working in their heart. How are we doing? Okay. Now we need to make sure we're a worthy vessel that the Holy Spirit can work through. But we don't need to be nervous that God's not going to work in this situation. He is always working. Always. We'll deal with that in a second. Okay, so number three is this. It takes both. Both. It takes us reasoning and it takes the Holy Spirit. Lest we think that we're so smart that we did it. Right? As we reason with the lost, the ones that kind of err on the reasoning side think, well, I got it figured out. I was so persuasive. I am the best debater of all time. No, that's not how it worked. You just helped them think, and the Holy Spirit is the one who convicted. Are you seeing that? Okay. But it does take us to do that work. All right. So it's true, they need God's help to understand, but they still have to consider it. The Holy Spirit's not going to take control of them and say, I don't know why, but I just need to be saved. If someone says that, stop. They need to know why they need to be saved. I just have this compulsion. I just have to go up there. But I have no idea why. Now, there is compulsion when you understand why. Maybe you're not able to articulate that. But the reason that you feel drawn to come up and get saved is because, here's what we'll see in a second, you have actually understood and made the decision to believe it. And then when you do that, you'll act on it. How are we doing? But it's not like the Holy Spirit just takes you, you're just a helpless victim of this, and he takes you and just drags you up here, puts you on your knees and say, pray this thing, and you're done. You're good. That's not it. It always starts in the mind. It's reasoning. Number five, and we are called to help them consider the truth of the gospel through reasoning, opening, alleging, disputing, persuading. And then the Holy Spirit uses all of that to help the person hear the gospel and truly understand it. That's the process. And that, again, is where our job ends. That's the blank. Remember, I'm sending you. Your job, take the training, think, use your brain, pray, give, preach. Then you're done. You preach, you consider, you help them consider, you reason, you persuade, you open, you allege, you dispute. All of those things are happening, but you can't go past this process. The rest of this is between them and God. Our job is just to be a good testimony. Again, we didn't mention that a whole lot, but that is a big part of it. And reason with them when they will allow us to. It's not our job to go harass people all day with the gospel. They need to be willing. We're gonna close the lesson with this idea. They need to be willing to reason with us. And so first, we need to put them in a position to reason with us. But then our job is to reason with them, and that's it. Are we doing good? Okay. Now, number five, this is important. And this process of reasoning and helping them understand can take time. This can take a long time. We have, because there's a lot to work through. A lot of people have never really considered the logic of the gospel. They might have sat in church their whole life and never really thought about it. Honestly, a lot of people today have not really considered anything. Really. They just let everyone think for them. They let social media think for them. They've let their pastoral leadership think for them. They've let maybe just their parents think for them. But many in our society don't even know how to consider things. And again, I believe that is a tool of Satan. Because he knows if we cannot think logically, we cannot get saved. Now, again, it's not like you need to be a philosopher, but you need to have basic reasoning capacity, enough to know, I'm a sinner, I deserve hell, Jesus died on the cross. If you cannot think through that, you can't get saved. But I contend this. Every human being on planet Earth can reason through that. Because the God who designed it to work this way designed your brain. And a lot of us have told ourselves we cannot think. But I can't believe that. I will not. We need to learn to think through these things. And the lost needs to learn to think through this thing. And so more than ever, it seems that people are content to operate by their feelings, that's the blank, by their feelings and emotions, instead of sound reasoning. Sound reasoning. We need to have that as part of our reaching the lost. Okay. Number five. Wait, where did it do that? Letter G. Fourth, after they fully understand the gospel, they have to make a choice to believe. The belief part we can't do for them. And by the way, God doesn't do that for them. We do not pray that God will save their soul in the fact that he will do a work to make them believe. He won't do that. If he did that, that means he chooses who's saved and who's not saved. He doesn't do that. He leaves it up to man to decide if they will believe the gospel or not believe the gospel. Let's explain that. You can completely understand something and still choose not to believe it. You can. You can have every logical reason in the world. You know it's true, but I'm not going to believe it. You know? Some people think the Giants aren't the best football team on planet Earth. I don't understand why. I mean, they have every reason in the world. I mean, just kidding. But truly, there are things that you can prove, and they're just not going to believe it. This is what people mean when they say you believe it in your head, but not in your heart. Those are the blanks. Your head and your heart. And people say things like, we need to get it from here to here. What we're talking about is not some kind of mystical thing that the Holy Spirit does to rip that out of your brain that's not good and stick it in your heart, which is where all the action happens. That is not what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit is not the one who moves it from here to here. You are. You have to make that choice. Here's what we're talking about. It's just a choice to actually believe what you have been convinced is true. And I cannot do that. No one can do that for anybody. Our job is to get it here in the lost, that they understand it. And they have to make a decision to believe it. It's not a weird mystical thing. It's not a pull from the Holy Spirit. That's not what he means when he says he'll draw all men to himself. That is not what he means. That is not what he means. I'll tell you what he means about that in a second. This is just them understanding it and believing it. The Holy Spirit is part of them understanding it. That's what he does. And then we, the lost, has to choose then to believe it. Okay? Number two, I'll explain this. The Holy Spirit will convict. That's what his job is, to convict of sin and judgment and righteousness to come, right? Or backwards, sin, righteousness, judgment to come. That's what he does. He convicts. Here's a big question. What does convict mean? Convict means to convince. He convinces. Hold on, I thought you said we were convincing. No, we're persuading. But he will convict. He will make sure that they know it's true. That's what he does. He convicts. We have to consider the truth first, but the Holy Spirit makes it clear. In our life, as I preach the word, when I preach to save people, my only job is to help you reason through the truth. The Holy Spirit will take that truth and make it clear, bring conviction. I know I'm doing wrong, or I know that God is real. I know I can trust him. I know it. I know it. I know it. The Holy Spirit will never force it from here to here. He will never force you to believe. He will just make it abundantly clear in your mind Remember when Agrippa said, "You've almost persuaded me"? I believe the Holy Spirit made it clear in his mind, but he refused to believe it. And that was not the Holy Spirit who said, "Nah, I'm not going to draw this one." That is not what's happening. He just refused, because God will allow us to do that, to refuse to believe. Okay. So we have to consider it. He'll make it clear, but the Holy Spirit will not make you believe. To believe is a choice. If someone refuses to believe, it won't matter how logical it is to them. It doesn't matter how much they understand the truth. They have to make a choice to believe it's true. You have to believe that. This is, then, and by the, oh yeah, and then number four, we can't force somebody to believe. We can't. We cannot affect them believing. We can manipulate somebody into saying they believe, but we cannot. That part is between them and God, right? Number two, this is also part of the process that can take a long time. That's the blank. This can also take a long time. Helping them understand can take a long time, but there are people out there, they know it, and you know they know it. They'll say it back to you. They get it, but they don't believe it. And that part can take a long time. Now, some sound reasoning and stuff, maybe there's some, like they know it, but there's like a barrier that it's hitting, and it's like, I know it's true, but this is also true. We have to help them see. This is not true, actually. And then maybe they can believe. But they have to make that choice. It's always their choice. So why would that take a long time? Well, it depends on the hurdles they have to making that choice to believe. They might fully understand the logic of the gospel, but they might have also been taught something else their entire life. And it's hard to make that choice. Hey, if you grew up thinking your baptism saves you, to believe the gospel means you have to also admit you've been wrong your whole life. How about this? This is a hard one for people. If you grew up and your whole family for generations has grew up thinking that you get saved one way, if you choose to believe that, you have to admit in your heart that there's some of your lost, there's some of your family who is not saved today, and they're already dead. And so where are they at? That's hard. And it doesn't matter. Some people, it doesn't matter how clear you make it to them, they will not believe for that reason. And it's not because the Holy Spirit's not drawing them. That's why we don't have to pray, God, please draw them. He is. They're just choosing not to believe it. We cannot put God in that place where he is some kind of tyrant who has created people to burn in hell forever. He will not draw some people. That is not true. That is not true. That is not true. That's called Calvinism. Not true. He is drawing all men through his word. But they have to choose at that point to believe. If he doesn't draw, we have no hope. That's what that verse means. No one can be saved unless the Holy Spirit draw him. No one can get to this place where it's here. No one can get to this place unless the Holy Spirit is part of that. We cannot understand biblical truth without the Holy Spirit's help. But he does not force it from here to here. Never. It's always a choice. Number three, they might understand they're guilty before a holy God. They might know it, but they're too proud to admit it. And a lot of people are there. They know. If they're thinking at all reasonably, and they stand before a holy, righteous God, they know they fall short, but they will not admit it. And so they don't believe. Are you seeing this? This is the problem. This is what we're dealing with. And these things are between them and God. We can't force them to do it. We can't beg them. We can't manipulate them. We can't pressure them. We just reason with them. That's it. Number three. And again, I'm going to say this again. I've already mentioned it, but I'm just passionate about this. I promise God is drawing them. That's the blank. God is drawing them. His word draws everyone. And you can know that. As you give the gospel, you can know the Holy Spirit is working. He is not forcing anything, but he is working. He's drawing. His Spirit always uses his word. God is not picking and choosing who he will draw and when he will draw someone. And I think people get all mixed up here because they're like, okay, I understand it, but I don't feel that draw. Stop. Pause. That's not how it works. You need to make a decision to believe it or not. But I think people get all mixed up here and say, I know it up here, but I've heard other people say they were kind of like loaded to the... No, you don't need that. God is working in you. You just need to decide to believe the gospel instead of whatever else you're holding on to. You see? That's what we're talking about here. We're not waiting for a draw, for some irresistible grace. That's what Calvinists call it. We're not waiting for God to do that. God's already working. What we're waiting for is them to decide to believe. Are we doing okay? But they can refuse. That's the blank. They can refuse his drawing. And I've got to be honest with you, this is going to maybe deflate some things. They can refuse it till the grave. We can never tell somebody, you just keep at it and God will save them one day. We don't know that. I just want to be honest with you. They can keep this thing to the grave, and many have. And it's not because God didn't do it, because God was working and they refused it. Let's not pin this on God, please. Okay. H. But if they choose to believe, right? So back, I know I'm doing this a lot, but I really want this to be clear. I can send you, you're here, you can receive the training and sending and the call, and then you can reason with people, help them understand, help them hear. The lost is here. They're reasoning with you. They hear, they understand, they get it. And then they can choose to believe. Right? They're not saved yet, though. What? I'll explain. So if they choose to believe, then they need to call. Right? So they have chosen to believe the gospel. They believe it with all their heart, and with the mouth, confession is made. And they get the courage to walk down the aisle or just bow the knee where they're at and ask. But once you get here, all you got to do is ask. Once you truly believe the gospel, you don't have to go to a pastor. You don't have to go to the front of the church, make a show of it. If you believe the gospel with all your heart, then it's as easy as asking. What did Jesus say to the woman at the well? If thou understoodest who it is that speaketh with you. You understood the living water, right? You understood, and then you believed it. And here's what he says. You would have asked. You see that? And all it takes is asking at that point. Are we doing all right? Are we seeing this? But you don't get to do any of this. We don't get to do that. Letter I. And if they truly understand, choose to believe, and call it on Christ, they are saved. Boom. That's it, right? They're saved. Here's the big problem with some, what people call soul winning and reaching the lost. If we lead someone to say a prayer, call, before, I think that's the blank, is that it? Before they actually believe it, and before they even understand it, I'm getting excited about it. This is very important, okay? If we get them to say the prayer before they understand the gospel, like we've met them on the front step, they've never heard the gospel before, we say it one time and say, don't you want to go to heaven? Well, yeah. Well, then just say this prayer with me, and they do. They are not saved. They are not saved until they understand it, until they choose to believe it, and then they choose of their own free will, not some awkward guy on the doorstep who they want to get out of their face and say the prayer. No, it's their own free will decision to ask. That's how salvation happens. But I feel like we have given a lot of, not we, but there's people that have given false hope of salvation that is not there. We have to, all we do, we never need to, don't you want to get saved? No, if they believe it, then it's a pretty easy transition to asking. But if you have to force them to say the prayer, then they either don't understand it or they either don't believe it. And if you bypass hear and believe and go straight to call, we're not saved. How are we doing? That's why there's people out there who says, I went to the hospital and I led 18,000 people to the Lord today. No, you didn't. You were annoying. They wanted you out of your face. And they said, okay, fine, I'll say the prayer. That is not salvation. Are we doing okay? Or maybe they wanted to go to heaven, but just because they want to go to heaven and then they say that prayer doesn't let them go to heaven. If they want to go to heaven, they need to first understand the gospel. Then believe it, then call. Yeah, maybe they're not being forced into this, but they don't even know what you're talking about. And saying magic words, hocus pocus, 1, 2, 3, pray after me, is not salvation. Okay, are we doing good? We have to help them understand, then give them time to understand it, give them time to believe it, and then they will call. And we can tell them that. Whenever you believe this, all you got to do is call. But they have to do them. They have to choose that for themselves. You doing okay? Yeah. And so our job then is just to continue to reason with them and to continue to let the Holy Spirit bring understanding and to pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to do that, even though He is going to do that. God wants us to pray. You know, we ask, God, please provide. If He's going, He's the provider, but He wants us to ask, right? And God, please work in their heart. Do that. But never think, well, God must not be working. So, no, that's not our God. He's working. He's working, but continue to pray because we need God's help in this, okay? So this is how salvation works in a nutshell. I'm going to give you just the heading here, number 3, and then we'll finish that next time. Here's the problem that we're dealing with today. Many people in your life are not interested. That's the blank. They are not interested in reasoning with you about the gospel. And so if your job is to receive the training and the call to be sent and then to reason with the lost, they don't want to reason. They don't want to hear it. They don't want you to preach at them. They don't want it. If this person's responsibility is first to reason and be convinced and then believe, if he won't reason with you, then you can't help them. So what we need to do is put them in a position where they are willing to reason with us. That's what next week's going to be all about. Sound good? All right. Good. Let's pray and I'll let you go. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you love us so much. I'm thankful, God, that you are not willing that any should perish. I'm thankful that you've come to seek and to save. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of men. Help us, God, to do our part. You'll always do your part. We understand that. But help us to do our part and accept the call and go and engage with the lost with your word, trusting that you're going to work. Help us to take this information and if there's any questions, to get clarity on these things and take seriously our call to work the field. Lord, we pray for the service to come, that you be glorified in all we do. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Amen.